From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento leaders are challenging the ongoing immigration enforcement, which has escalated under the Trump administration. Last night, Democratic Congresswoman Doris Matsui, who represents Sacramento, sent a letter to Immigration and Customs Enforcement demanding entry into the ICE facility at the John E. Moss Federal Building in downtown. This comes on the heels of city and county officials sending a similar letter to ICE, concerned about the conditions inside this facility, arguing that the building was not designed for overnight detentions and having received reports of people sleeping on the floor, having limited access to food and water, a lack of restrooms, as well as poor ventilation. Coverage of this enforcement has largely and understandably focused on Latinos, but Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders have also been swept up in these ongoing federal crackdowns. This week, local AAPI leaders hosted a vigil outside the Sacramento Federal Immigration Building. Mai Vang is a Sacramento City Council member, and Nancy Zong is Executive Director of Hmong Innovating Politics. They join us with more. Welcome.
Hi, Vicky. Thank you so much for having us.
Hi, Vicky. Thanks so much for having us. And hi, Council Member Mai Vang.
Hi.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. There's just been a lot of coverage over the past months of detentions inside routine immigration hearings outside of Home Depots targeting street vendors. What would you two like people to understand about how this enforcement is impacting Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, immigrants and refugees in our area? Councilmember Vang?
Yeah, thanks, Vicky. Well, first, let me just say, when we talk about deportation, this is an issue that impacts all of our communities, and our struggles are so interconnected. And I know that our Latino siblings, brothers and sisters, and our Latino community is enduring so much in this moment. And I also just want to say to them that we are with you in this fight, that it's going to be so important that we stay united against this administration. But I will just share with you, you know, as a daughter of Hmong refugees, the fight is personal for me. And this year in particular, 2025, actually marks the 50th anniversary since Southeast Asians been in the United States. And so many of our families were forced to flee from persecution and then resettled here as refugees seeking safety and a new beginning. And my family and so many other Southeast Asian families were placed in under-resourced and high-poverty neighborhoods, and oftentimes with little to no support. And that put some of our siblings, our uncles, on a path from poverty to prisons. And we're seeing ICE continuing to detain, deport immigrant refugees who are actually have already served their time in society. They are fathers, mothers, contributors to this community. I know that as society, as an American, we value our working families. We value second chances. And in this moment, so many of them are being separated from their loved ones, often without due process or the basic protections that every family, every American family deserves in this country. So it's personal for me.
When you mentioned serve their time, you're talking about individuals who have been convicted of a crime and went to prison.
Yeah, like I'll give you an example. There could be someone that when they were 16 years old, they made some poor decision and maybe stole a car. Something like that, right? And they did their time when they were young, and now they are a father of kids, and they're working and contributing to society. And those were decades ago, right? And there is this fear that they can get deported, and we're seeing that happen. We're seeing that happen in this moment. And it's so important to make sure that we share with our refugee, our immigrant communities about the rights that they have. I know there's a lot of fear in our communities in this moment, a lot of fear, I would say. You know, we have people who are afraid to go to school. We have folks who are afraid to show up to work or even attend an immigration court hearing, which is a part of the process, right? And this should not be our normal. This is not okay. This should not be our normal. Every single person in this country, no matter your status, has a right to due process and to be with their families.
Nancy, does immigration enforcement, from what you're experiencing and hearing from the community, does it present differently with Asian Americans when compared to other communities?
For sure. I think Councilmember Mai really brought up a good point around we oftentimes in the media, we don't really see it as like these massive raids that, you know, happen in LA or other bigger cities, and it's been very, very targeted. And so we had a community member up in North Sac who was just watering their lawn and got picked up by, got kidnapped and detained by ICE. And so it's like those instances of like, there's like a level of erasure happening too, right? It's like, people are not talking about it. And because it's not these massive raids, there's not a lot of stories, narratives around how it's impacting the Southeast Asian Hmong community. And we are seeing this happen time and time again, whether it be that they go to their ICE check-in, or there's like this like very ambiguous letter that they need to check in on, and they're getting detained right away. And so how do you even highlight those stories when it's like one-off stories? But we're seeing it time and time again, and we're picking up on the patterns. And we really want to highlight that because it's just not happening in raids. And so it's just really unfortunate not being able to really showcase the stories of our communities and how it's impacting them.
Do you have? Vicky, please chime in.
I would also share, you know, I think there is this myth, the model minority myth in our community, mainstream community, that Asian Americans, Pacific Islander, Native Hawaiians, Southeast Asian, that they're doing well, that when there are rules and regulation and policies that are implemented, that they don't get impacted by these types of policy. And we know that's simply not true. There are, if you look at the disaggregated data, if you look at the income inequality, if you look at the ways in which these ICE have targeted, you see a discrepancy, you see inequities that happen in our Southeast Asian, our Asian American, Pacific Islander communities. And so this myth still rings very true, because folks would think, oh, Asian Americans, oh, they're doing great, you know, they're not being impacted by this. But our communities are being impacted by it, and often behind the scene, invisible, and folks don't hear these stories. And so it's so important to bring these stories to light.
Do you have an idea if this enforcement and these detentions have increased over this period? Is there any data or numbers out there?
You know, talking to advocates, organizations on the ground doing this work, we know that in this past May, there was over 150. Last month, I was just at a pardon refugee event just right before I came over here. And they talked about last month, there was 70. They're estimating over 500, you know, Southeast Asian deportations. But that's probably an undercount, because we actually don't have anyone tracking this. And this is really through rapid response. This is through organizations on the ground
trying
everything we can to provide services here in the United States, and then also working with organizations on the other side that's receiving them. We have individuals. I'll share an organization that I'm working closely with called Collective Freedom, and there are individuals in that organization that live here and also live in Laos in particular, and those who are actually deported and didn't know how to navigate, and they miss their loved ones, and they're over there telling us what's happening. And so we're working globally, figuring out what we need to do to protect, defend, and provide safety net networks for our families and our communities.
We're having this conversation in a pretty like active week of the city and the county and local representatives challenging this enforcement in Sacramento. The city and the county sent a letter to ICE about conditions inside the Sacramento Federal Immigration Courthouse. Representative Matsui is also demanding a tour of this facility. It's located in downtown along Capitol Mall. What have you heard about the detainments or the arrests among the Asian American community here in Sacramento? And for this question, we could even broaden it to the individuals who are currently being detained. What are you hearing about the conditions inside this facility? Nancy, I'll start with you.
Yeah, what I've been hearing is that folks are sleeping on the ground. There's not actual like space for them to really rest. And then the other parts is that they're not getting fed consistently. They're not giving water consistently. And so that's what we've been hearing on the ground from folks. And it's really worrisome, because just even being at the vigil, like, I'm staring at this building that's right in front of me, and I can't imagine, we're so close and yet so far, and I can't imagine folks being treated so inhumanely in that building. And it brings light to a lot of just, you know, wanting to make sure that we continue to bring up these stories, and that that it is very inhumane, and that Trump and ICE, they're not following the law. And I really want to emphasize that too, is that they are not following the law. There's no due process. The way that they've been treating folks have been really inhumane. And it's just been really scary, because then we're on the outside, and we also are trying to bring in more voices from the inside of like what they've also been experiencing. And just it's been really incredibly hard to hear and then not be able to do anything about it.
Councilmember Vang, have you heard anything from the ICE district office in our area?
Not yet. I know we submitted a letter requesting for an investigation, requesting for a tour. I believe the mayor, our whole entire mayor and council actually signed on. It was a letter by Supervisor Phil Cerna, Mayor Pro Tem Eric Guerra, signed by the entire mayor and council. But we know what we've heard from the advocates and on the folks on the ground is that very similar to what you heard from Nancy is that, you know, folks are sleeping bare on the floor. They're receiving limited water, little to no food, lack of air conditioning and ventilation, and that these are just inhumane conditions, right? But the larger, you know, the larger piece for me is so we could do a tour. We could request to do an investigation, but I think the larger issue here is the ways in which ICE is being used to harm and to separate our families, right? Like, I know that we'd send this letter. That's great. It's a first great start. I think it's really important that our congressional reps in particular, because they are at the federal level, that there is some congressional oversight of what's happening in the ICE office in Sacramento. But the larger question for me is that this should not be happening, period. Mm-hmm. Like, this should not be happening to our immigrant and refugee communities. I mean, this administration is talking about, you know, detaining and deporting the most worst criminals in this country. And we know that is simply just not true. And so, as you heard from Nancy, you know, we have an administration that isn't following the rules. And they're also making a profit out of these deportation, right? Let's have a real conversation about that. Even if absolutely I'm concerned about the living conditions, the conditions of our immigrant refugees who are detained in our Sacramento ICE building, in that building in particular, but the larger fight is really, I will say to you, is dismantling ICE overall and the harm that it has caused in this country. And so that's the larger fight for me.
When it comes to immigrants and refugees, English is often not their first language. Are there challenges with language barriers when these detentions and in this enforcement is happening? There are many languages spoken within Asian American Pacific Islander populations.
Yeah, I would say in this moment, you know, even as a local elected officials, we got to lean on our community partners and our CBOs and our trusted messengers on the ground. Recently, we did a Know Your Rights workshop, and Vicky, we didn't put that on social media. We shared it with our elders, with Trusted Messenger. We had over 100 people that showed up at the Pinnell Community Center, and that event was put on by HIP, Nancy's organization. It was put on by Human Services and our office, and you definitely need to be leaning in on Trusted Messengers in our communities, and oftentimes, even in different languages, we don't have words that will translate into, like, ICE, right, or like what's happening. And so oftentimes we're describing the situation in our language. And so ensuring that we have interpreters on site to support our diverse community is of utmost importance. And that's the reason why we have to have a wide coalition. And I'm proud to be a supporter of our field network, you know, the city of Sacramento in our budget this year dedicated $500,000 to support the field network in terms of legal services and also providing support for local organizations to do this work, but it's not enough. The need is so dire.
Your district encompasses South Sacramento, you know, just north of the city of Elk Grove. You live in Meadowview. Is your district disproportionately impacted by this?
I would say yes. And I would say Sacramento overall, we are a city of immigrant and refugees. So it's not just District 8, it's not just South Sacramento, but we're seeing it all over the city. In particular, the scenario, the situation that was shared was by Nancy, that happened in North Sacramento, right? And so we're seeing it happen throughout our entire city, not just in South Sac.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Sacramento City Council member Mai Vang and Nancy Zong with Hmong Innovating Politics about immigration enforcement targeting Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders across Sacramento. So just like Latinos, other immigrant communities, there isn't necessarily consensus or an agreement on what's happening. There are immigrants who approve of this ramped up enforcement. They support ICE. What are those conversations like within our local AAPI community? Nancy?
Yeah, I would share that, you know, just even when, you know, one of my staff, Cal Yi, speaking to her mom about this in Hmong, she has shared that her mom knows that what's happening is not right. And so even if, you know, it's like she doesn't understand what the policy or the law is, like the way that ICE has been kidnapping folks and really detaining them and deporting them, like, it, like in those instances, like even that, what that understanding of what's happening, and the violence and the harm that ICE is causing is so it is visually, like folks are seeing that and know that it's wrong, right? And so I think that is what has been really driving our conversations. During the summer, we did a canvassing door-to-door program, and folks were actually like, they know what's going around or like going on in around other communities. And also there's just a sense of fear. And so even then, like folks were not opening like the door to us when we were wanting to ask them more questions about, you know your rights and just even housing, right? And how that's become a big issue too. And so even being able to go at their doors, like I just see that it's going to be a continued mm-hmm. challenge. And I think I know we talked about just the challenges of like the API community, and like the language piece is really, it is like real because we have so many languages, and the difference between someone who is able to obtain legal representation and someone who isn't means you either stay or you leave, right? Or you're forced to leave. And so it's really important for us to be able to really get the information out there in language, and also make sure that we are also building like, you know, trust between NorCal Resist and even our community partners, because we know NorCal Resist, Fuel Network can provide those resources that us as organizations cannot, but we trust them too. And so being able to do that is really important.
Councilmember Vang, what would you say to the argument that people have? Like, hey, I'm an immigrant. I did things the right way. If someone was convicted of a crime, they lost their residency. They are not here legally. It's unfortunate, but that's the way things are. And they aren't as offended or against the enforcement that's happening. What would you say to those members within the AAPI community?
What I've said to those members is that we are living in a moment that is incredibly dangerous. And we are in a moment where our values are being tested, where we stand for our families, our communities, and across this country. And I say to them that no one is safe. No community is safe. No city is safe. Whether you're a citizen, no matter your status, you are not safe. And I share that because we are in a fascist society in this moment. And I share that because we are seeing students with visa, students who are here legally, who are being detained by speaking truth to power, right? That is happening in this country, right? And we have folks, U.S. citizen who are being detained, folks on visa that has not committed a crime that are being detained by speaking truth to power. And so I say to our community that no one is safe, no community is safe. And now more than ever, we have to stay united and stronger together to really fight against this administration, because they're not following the books. You know, they are targeting based on race. They are targeting our communities, no matter your status, whether you're a citizen or you're an immigrant or refugee. And so they're eventually going to come for someone you love. And so now more than ever, it's important for us to stand together. That's what I've been sharing with the community, because we're living in the society now, and it's so important to make sure that we stand up and speak up.
Yeah, and the reality is President Trump earned the popular vote, and the popular vote also includes people who are immigrants and people who are Asian American, people who are Latino. How do you navigate those conversations during this time?
Absolutely. What I share, you know, what I will share with you, I have family members that voted for Trump, and I understand why. It's because the establishment hasn't served our community, no matter if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. Every single one of our family members, our loved ones, of our neighbors, deserve the right to have enough food to eat, to have access to housing, to have access to quality healthcare, to have a place to call home and to be with their families. And we know that under both administration, we're seeing our families suffering, right? And their vote for Trump was out of that frustration. And so you know, establishment politics isn't going to save and protect our communities in this moment. And so that's the conversation I've been having with our families and our communities that have voted for this current administration. And when you share that with them and you share with them that, you know, their critical programs, you know, SNAP, Medicaid is being cut, that this, you know, big, ugly bill is the largest wealth transfer ever in our country, and that so many of our families and loved ones are going to suffer because of this, then they see it and they understand. But a big part of that is that, you know, as a local elected, as leaders locally, we have to hold the line, but we also have to hold space and have those conversations and inform our community so they know what's happening. And I think that this, you know, I would say that the status quo politics and the establishment has failed. They have failed our communities. And that is why we are here today. But it's so important now more than ever that we have fighters, that we have people who are speaking up and informing our communities of the harms of this administration so that we ensure that, you know, we don't have this administration in power ever again.
Councilmember Vang and Nancy, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Vicky.
Thank you, Vicky.
And that is Sacramento City Council member Mai Vang and Nancy Zong with Hmong Innovating Politics, discussing immigration enforcement targeting Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders across Sacramento. Up next, Shakespeare is about to get a feminine and fresh modern update. We'll hear more about a brand new adaptation of As You Like It that is taking place at the Clara Auditorium in Sacramento. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.